Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good morning, everyone, and blessed holidays. This is Vicki Dobbs coming to you live with Kindred Spirits. I'm the founder of Wisdom Evolution and head cheerleader for the You First Revolution, encouraging you to put you at the top of your priority list, to choose you first because hashtag you matter and your dream matters. Please pop on over to my website at VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com to find out more about the programs I offer and sign up for my Friday Food for Thoughts newsletter. You'll find a gift there, a printable journal just for you listeners who love to take notes, record those aha moments or questions, even write down those little whispers of wisdom that float by on the wind. Pick up your copy of When I Listen, I Learn. I'd love to have you join our circle of support. Choosing you first is not a selfish act. It's an act of self-preservation that allows you to gift the world with the best of you, not just what is left of you. And I'm excited today to introduce you to my guest, Forrest Rivers. He's a writer, a teacher, and speaker who splits his time between the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina and the majestic Colorado Rockies. I'm jealous. His personal journey of awakening began at the age of 30 on an awe-inspiring trip to Maui. It was there on that enchanted island where the profound healing of the earth spoke to his heart and helped him overcome a period of alcohol abuse. After returning home from that transformative experience, Forrest became interested in the spiritual traditions of the Far East and began to immerse himself in the teachings of Buddhist, Hindu, and Taoist mystics. Today, he spends his time guiding others to look within and become the best versions of themselves. Welcome, Forrest.
Hey, how's it going today, Vicki? I'm so happy to be on your show.
Oh, it's a beautiful, sunshiny day here in Arizona. Chilly and clear blue skies and just a lovely, soft energy of winter in the desert.
That sounds absolutely fantastic.
Great. So we'll just jump right in. We're here to celebrate and talk about your new book, Humanity Spiritual Rebirth, Lessons Lived and Learned from a Pandemic. And I love a paragraph that you have on the opening page of your website at forestrivers.com, where you post a philosophy for the future and write that we are only limited by the things that we allow to limit us. The keys to success and productivity are already in our pockets. We just need someone to show us the lock and encourage us to open the door. I'd love for you to share a bit about this. I absolutely resonated with that statement.
Yeah, absolutely. And this applies to the book that I just wrote, that we always have the ability to control our own reactions to situations that on the surface look really difficult and trying. And I think we can allow the difficulties we face to break us, or we can allow the difficulties we face to actually propel us forward on our spiritual journeys and to become more empowered, to live with more gratitude, to be more inspired. So really that statement just refers to the fact that we always have the choice of how we respond to difficult moments in our life. And that's that's something that's a message I've tried to spread to as many people as possible, Vicki. Yeah.
And I think that statement that we already have the key in our pockets. We sometimes just need someone to show us a lock and encourage us to walk through the door. And
oh,
I think
yes.
Throughout your book, each of your chapters is followed by some key points and some meditative exercises. And I think the book itself becomes maybe that map to the door, you know, and it encourages mm-hmm. us to open it. And
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So why did you write this book?
Yeah, so I started writing this book back in 2020, and it's undergone a couple revisions, and this is like the final product. And I started writing the book because, you know, if we remember back in 2020 and 2021, understandably, there was a lot of fear, and there was a lot of chaos. And there was a lot of doom, like just a really negative feelings and mass suffering that we were experiencing physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And I wanted to write something and say, hey, you know, all we're hearing about is these negative sort of narratives. But if we really can still our minds and open our hearts enough, we can begin to hear another entire narrative emerging. And that narrative emerging is that, hey, we can use this very difficult time to actually awaken, to become deeper in our wisdom. And so I decided to write the book really as a way to inspire people to reorient how they're reacting to an otherwise very difficult circumstance. And I think we can apply what happened back in 2020, 2021, 2022, we can use that time of the pandemic, the lessons we learned for future crises that we face either collectively or as individuals. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I really wrote it to inspire people. Yeah.
And I think there's so many nuggets of wisdom that you share in this that I've only pulled out a few of them to ask you questions about, but I'll start with, what do you mean by the phrase humanity's spiritual rebirth?
Yeah, so by the phrase humanity's spiritual rebirth, I mean that this once-in-a-lifetime crisis that we all went through provided opportunity for, or lessons, I should say, that had the potential and still have the potential to propel humanity forward in a more spiritual direction. So I say humanity's spiritual rebirth really to suggest that since this event impacted all of humanity, the lessons that we gleaned from it also had the ability to collectively propel us forward in our consciousness. And the lessons were many, right? There were many lessons
yes.
that we took from this that are still resonating throughout our own lives today. Yeah.
I saw families that had been separated come together, some even live together in little pods and reconnect as an actual family rather than parts of families scattered about. And I saw communities pull together to support and aid each other, whether it's from a distance across the street, next door, or from the other side of the house, and to build connections that had frayed or at least been stretched so thin you weren't really aware of them anymore. And I think for me that's one of the biggest things. I know in my own family there's a closeness there that will remain with us forever that came about by the shared, I don't want to use the word isolation because we really weren't. We all live within a mile or two of each other, and so in our staying put in California as we were required to do, we also had a togetherness that we hadn't had in a long time. And I know you write a lot in your book about Eastern and Native American influences, and I'm very connected to the philosophy of a lot of different thoughts, Why do you think it's so important within the context of humanity's rebirth to take another look at some of the ancient, more earth-connected influences that we've heard about and not everybody necessarily knows about?
So I think it's really important because, well, the Native American spiritual philosophies are a reminder of our most natural roots. And there's a huge emphasis in those traditions, in the Native American spiritual traditions, of connectedness to the earth, of living a life with greater gratitude, of humble living, of living with high integrity and morals. And so they're almost like a roadmap into the type of values that we should be ascribing to. And those values, by the way, help us in any kind of crisis that we face in our lives. I mean, take the when we all experienced this pandemic, you know, we weren't really able to go to out to eat. We weren't able to engage in all the sense pleasures that we're sort of used to. So it made us really root ourselves to the earth. I think it's interesting that during that time, you had a record number of people exploring national parks and going into their state forests. And, you know, I think that says a lot, right? Like, that's a reminder that really, when you really break us down, we are dwellers of the earth. And we can make do with the simple things in life. We don't necessarily need all of these material comforts like we think we do. They're nice to have, but there's a difference between a need and a want. And I think the Native American spiritual tradition really centered on a more kind of earth-based, humble, simple living. And I think that's something, and living with greater gratitude with our hearts open. And that's something that we can all obviously embrace. And embracing those types of qualities helps us respond to the types of crisis situations that inevitably arise in our lives.
And I think they also teach us to take care of ourselves as well as each other.
Just that
everything we need is available to us. We don't have to depend on others to provide us with the necessities, that if we choose to and want to work for, everything that we need is there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Everything we could possibly ever want is found in our most connected relationships with the earth, with our friends, with our family, with our greater human family. We already have everything that we could possibly already desire. You know, and I think in this time that we're living in of kind of like material excess and kind of the over-attachment to the external things in life, you know, our technologies, the Native American traditions are a reminder of our inherent rootedness to the earth into one another. And particularly during a crisis moment when some of our external paradigm is disrupted, it's really important to reconnect, especially to what we're, you know, to all that we're a part of naturally.
Yeah.
And that's what the Native American traditions, but yeah, I think remind us to do.
Celebration, prayer, gratitude, and community.
Celebration, prayer, gratitude. I love that. And community. And then I'd say, like, communion with earth. You know,
yes.
Communion with earth. And through communion with earth, communion with ourselves, right? Communion with ourselves, because I would argue without a deep connectedness with the earth, how can we fully know the the miraculous vastness of who we are. Right.
Right. Yeah. Well, I know you talk in your book a lot about the frustration, the fear, the anger, the disconnect that occurred during the pandemic, and instead of looking at all of that as a consistently negative thing, you remind us that it can also be one of our lessons, one great lessons, that there's so much we can learn from that. And I know one of my own teachers, Lynn Andrews, often wrote that those who upset us the most, and I could say those things that upset us the most, are our greatest teachers. And I've written a lot about the sacred pivots we all encounter in our lives as opportunities to learn and grow if we can just see them as the teachers that they are. And I know you ask in your book, did the most recent pandemic offer any important teachings in the way of our own spiritual growth? And I think you've touched on that. Would you expand on that for our listeners?
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. There were so many lessons that the pandemic offered us, both individually and collectively. And then we can take the lessons and apply them to any future crises that we may face. So this book wasn't just written just for the pandemic. It was written for any other future crises that we may face. So some of those lessons we got from the pandemic. One was gratitude, of course, right? And we kind of hit on that a minute ago, Vicki, like the gratitude when a lot is taken away from us, we're reminded of the things that we do have in our lives. And you mentioned family. It could be friends. It could be a beloved pet. It could be the fact that I'm still able to connect with nature. You know, gratitude was a major lesson that came out of that pandemic. There was a lot also about overcoming our fear of death. And here, especially in the West, we operate with a complete and utter either denial or outright fear of the moment that we drop our bodies. And that pandemic forced many people for the first time, and I have some narratives in my book about that, of people I interviewed, sharing their stories about how they were forced to face their mortality for the first time. And, you know, according to many Eastern teachings, particularly in Buddhism, you know, it is extremely important to come to terms with death, or you can't live this life in its full capacity in the moment. So that was another lesson we got from it. And we also got, in that lesson, one of our lessons was about inner faith. We learned a lot about the power of faith, not blind belief, but faith in our higher powers. And it forced many people to look within to figure out where their faith lied. That was really important. And another lesson that I thought was really interesting was sort of the courage to chase our dreams, right? I talk a lot about that. I have a whole chapter about it in the book. And crisis situations, no matter what they are, force us to find courage. And that courage leads us on a path to find greater meaning and purpose in our own lives. So crisis situations can be a real transformative period to find that deep courage and resiliency in us. And when we can do that, we start to realize, oh my goodness, you know, my life does have meaning. My life does have purpose. And then another lesson we got that ties in directly into that is we learned a lot about the importance of prayer and meditation. It is so important to have a daily practice to still our minds and to open our hearts, because when crisis situations hit, they can have the impact of or the effect of really disrupting our natural flow. And it becomes especially important to have some kind of anchor in which we can focus our awareness. And so those are some of the lessons that I feel like we got from that event that we can apply to any other future crisis.
Wow, that summarized so much of the chapters that you've written in the book, and I've got some questions down the road here that touch on a lot of those things.
Absolutely, and last thing I'd say is love, right? One of the biggest lessons we got from this is the power of love and the power of our presence when we're in love. And you talked about that, Vicki, with the connection that felt like it was fostered or strengthened between your family. And I think many people felt that, the sense of connectedness. Look, during that pandemic, we all experienced this together. Wild experience that we got to experience that together. And it reminded us of our inner connectedness. And that's something that we can forget in this culture that sometimes seems very fragmented in our reality.
And busy. We lose those connections in our busy. And with that, it's time for one of those short breaks. This is Vicki Dobbs talking to Forrest Rivers about his book, Humanity, Spiritual Rebirth. And hang in there through our messages. We'll be right back.
Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard. Now there's a place you can go to find resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, if you sign up for her free newsletter, you'll get her Optimism by Choice and be a happy journal for free. Plus, there's lots of fun and free stuff to do at VickiDobbs.com, like sign up for her blog, Friday Food for Thought, or download her You First Journal to explore how to live an intentional life. So much to do, so little time. Visit VickiDobbs.com to get started. That's VickiDobbs.com.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
It's time for you to read Get Off the Shelf by Vicki Dobbs. This book helps you discover how to reconnect to your dreams and actually identify yourself by what you do, not who you are. If you're looking to find what's hidden at the bottom of your heart to actualize and activate it for your highest good and purpose, then this book is for you. It all starts by helping yourself first, and Get Off the Shelf shows you exactly how to do this, and it all starts by getting Vicki Dobbs' book, Get Off the Shelf, at Amazon.com, available in ebook or print.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure, from outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
Vicki Dobbs' latest book, Wisdom and Wit, a little life book, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art, and creativity so you can learn to choose what's right for you. It is designed to inspire you to think outside the box, challenge you to look beneath old layers, and leads you to mapping out your journey. Wisdom and Wit, fun and filled with information, inspiration, and affirmations. It even has journaling opportunities. Wisdom and Wit, powerful and life-changing. Get your copy today at VickiDobbs.com. Tap into the evolution of your own wisdom through Vicki Dobbs' personal stories and resources at her website, VickiDobbs.com. A spiritual entrepreneur, teacher, coach, and storyteller, Vicki shows you how you're not alone in this busy world and that you can carve out time for yourself and not feel selfish. Discover the ultimate sharing of magic and mystery that is within you if you dare to say yes to yourself, to living intentionally in your own power. If this sounds good to you, find out more now at VickiDobbs.com. You'll be glad you did. VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. This is your host, Vicki Dobbs, and we're talking today with Kindred Spirit Forrest Rivers about his book, Humanity, Spiritual Rebirth. And Forrest, one of the key things I loved about your book was the always present theme of self-empowerment. Would you talk to our readers a bit about that and how it's impacted your life and how you live and teach this message?
Oh, my goodness. So one of the biggest lessons we got, right, Vicki, from this was we got a dramatic lesson teaching in our faces that basically said, how are you going to respond when suffering greets you? And I talk a lot about the book about suffering and the way that we meet suffering. And the way we meet suffering is directly related to our self-empowerment, right? When we go through a really difficult event, be it a death of a loved one, a loss of a relationship, a pandemic, whatever that may be, whatever difficult lesson is greeting us, we always have a way to respond to any moment of suffering. We can choose to go down a kind of a more victim mindset. And by the way, none of this is met with any kind of judgment. Everybody reacts to situations on their own accord and according to their own karmic paths that they're on, right? So there's no judgment on any of these paths. But with that being said, there is maybe a path that we can take when we're greeted with suffering. And one path is we can choose to become more resilient. We can choose to say, hey, you know, this challenge I'm facing seems completely insurmountable in this moment. But what lessons are there that this moment is offering? And, you know, that's what builds resiliency. That's what builds courage, is when we take difficult moments, we are able to find the lessons that are being offered. And we embrace those teachings rather than pushing them away. That's how we become self-empowered. You know, self-empowerment really is the building of resiliency, of courage, of greater self-love within ourselves. Not an egotistical confidence, but a confidence that's rooted in spirit. And I think, like, the pandemic offered a wonderful opportunity, though difficult, a wonderful opportunity to become more empowered as individuals, to say, hey, I'm choosing to take this difficult time to build more resiliency within myself, more courage, more inner faith. And I think empowerment is just, self-empowerment is really the key to spiritual growth, right? If if you don't embrace the path of self-empowerment, how are you ever going to develop the courage and resiliency needed to meet those difficult moments as they arise, right? And as we all know, suffering is as much part of the spiritual path as joy is, right? Or bliss. Suffering, while difficult, extraordinarily difficult in many instances, can open up a pathway into becoming more courageous, resilient, compassionate, gracious, humble beings. And that's where self-empowerment leads us, I think, is to all of those things.
Absolutely. I had a physician tell us in the tail end of an appointment a few weeks ago, say, you know, as hard as this is and as hard as it's going to be, you're going to struggle, you're going to get through it, and in the end, you're going to look back on it as a memory with the joy of having successfully beaten it.
You got it.
I think sums it up.
You know? Sums it up. And it might feel like absolute the pain of
terror,
the suffering that you're experiencing. It may feel like it's ripping your heart out. And, you know, you're going to have many nights and days where there's tears in your eyes. And there's going to be tremendous, maybe, depending on the suffering, some sadness. And you're going to have maybe working through the feelings of regret and working through all of these range of emotions that can accompany profound suffering. But what is the perspective? Empowerment really is choosing to use one's suffering, one's adversity, for personal growth, right? And that's really, that can be difficult, But man, when we can do that, that's where a lot of the magic happens. Some of our most profound spiritual growth happens through encountering tremendous bouts of adversity.
And I think it ties into perspective.
Yeah.
If you change the perspective through which you see a challenge or an opportunity or an event, an incident, that challenge, opportunity, event, or incident actually changes. You have that choice of seeing it as negative or positive, as dark or light, as a gift or a challenge. And I think what you're saying is that when you choose to move through something with faith and with your own courage and with the resilience it takes to suffer through some of the challenges that we as human beings face from birth to death, that you're empowering yourself, not just in a physical way. You're not just building physical muscles. You're building internal spiritual heart muscles that will carry you through the next challenge, the next pivot, the next obstacle that throws itself up in your path. And it just creates...
Yeah, every time you encounter suffering and you work through it, your inner faith gets stronger. Your wisdom, inner wisdom gets stronger. Your courage gets stronger. I don't think it's a coincidence that some of the world's most profound and beautiful spiritual teachers through the ages have gone through immense amounts of suffering before they came to their awakenings. I think there's a direct correlation between suffering or adversity and building those kind of heart muscles, as you're talking about, those spiritual heart muscles. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, I know that you share in your book a lot about meditation and how it works in your life, but as a way to manage stress, separation, loneliness, during or after life-altering events. And when we come back, I'd love for you to talk about how meditation positively impacted your life and how you would encourage someone who's never engaged in the practice of meditation to begin one. And we'll be right back with Forest Rivers. This is Vicki Dobbs, your host, and we're talking about humanity's spiritual rebirth. And when we come back, we're going to get into the prospects and positive aspects of meditation. Hang in there with us. Yeah. We'll be right back.
It's time for you to read Get Off the Shelf by Vicki Dobbs. This book helps you discover how to reconnect to your dreams and actually identify yourself by what you do, not who you are. If you're looking to find what's hidden at the bottom of your heart to actualize and activate it for your highest good and purpose, then this book is for you. It all starts by helping yourself first, and Get Off the Shelf shows you exactly how to do this, and it all starts by getting Vicki Dobbs' book, Get Off the Shelf at Amazon.com, available in ebook or print.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Vicki Dobbs' latest book, Wisdom and Wit, a little life book, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art, and creativity so you can learn to choose what's right for you. It is designed to inspire you to think outside the box, challenge you to look beneath old layers, and leads you to mapping out your journey. Wisdom and Wit. Fun and filled with information, inspiration, and affirmations. It even has journaling opportunities. Wisdom and Wit, powerful and life-changing. Get your copy today at VickiDobbs.com.
For the best in business class travel, count on Cheapo Air. Cheapo Air has the best price guarantee, 24/7 customer service, and easy booking online or by phone. To experience your hassle-free journey, start by going to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Cheapo Air.
Tap into the evolution of your own wisdom through Vicki Dobbs' personal stories and resources at her website, VickiDobbs.com. A spiritual entrepreneur, teacher, coach, and storyteller, Vicki shows you how you're not alone in this busy world and that you can carve out time for yourself and not feel selfish. Discover the ultimate sharing of magic and mystery that is within you if you dare to say yes to yourself, to living intentionally in your own power. If this sounds good to you, find out more now at VickiDobbs.com. You'll be glad you did. VickiDobbs.com.
Okay, men, time to be an all-star caregiver. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Be there emotionally and physically. Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. This is your host, Vicki Dobbs, and I'm here with Forrest Rivers, and we're about to jump into the subject of meditation. And in your book, Forrest, at the end of every chapter, you not only sum up the key points that you have tapped into in each chapter, but you give each chapter its own meditation. And I wondered if you would share with us how the practice of meditation has been a way of managing stress, of dealing with separation, of managing loneliness during some of these life-altering events like the pandemic, and how it's positively impacted your life. And also, and I mean, that's a long question, so we can get to the second half of it, how you encourage someone who's never engaged in a practice of meditation to start one and how they would do that.
Cool. That's a wonderful, wonderful question, Vicki. So first, taking the first part of the question, meditation, you know, what you're really doing in it is you're learning to still your mind, to calm the torrent of thoughts that is constantly dragging us into the past or into the future. And basically, if you remain stuck in the past, you're in the realm of depression. And if you're stuck in the future, you're in the realm of anxiety. So the idea is that you want to try to come to the middle ground, into the present moment. So naturally, being more in the present moment will help alleviate our anxiety. It'll help alleviate our fear. It'll help alleviate our excessive anxiety, anxious thoughts. It'll help kind of maybe release some of the sort of like negative emotions that can become entangled in our heart-mind connection. Meditation is absolutely unbelievable. It's helped people with chronic pain. It's helped people with emotional pain. And like I just mentioned, anxiety, depression, helping us release our fear, helping us become more empowered human beings, helping us develop a more heart-centered connection to our higher power, whether that be Christ or Buddha or Krishna, whatever your higher power may be, the earth. Meditation does all those things. In my life, my God, it's been transformative. When I found the practice, I had been going through a decade of severe alcohol abuse. And real bad, you know, and, you know, destructive to my relationships, destructive with my relationships with family, destructive, just in all aspects of my life. And what meditation started helping me do is it started helping me calm my mind down enough so I could start listening to that sort of like still small voice that lives within me and hear its pain. Hear its cries. Like, I never really understood why I was so wounded, right, within myself. And so when I was able to control my thoughts for the first time, I was able to actually tune into my own beingness and hear more clearly what it is that was bothering me. You know, and and it's such a, in that regard, it's such an incredible practice. And I can tell you this, that my drinking problem was no more once I dove into the practice of meditation. I think it's a wonder worker. I've seen it work for people with PTSD. I've seen it work for people with substance abuse issues in the past. I've seen it work with people who are getting out of divorces. That helps them be able to get back on their feet with more love and acceptance and understanding. I've seen it. I've seen meditation work among people who are facing terminal illnesses, and the peace that it brings them in the moments before they drop their body. It's just an absolutely incredible practice, and I truly believe, Vicki, that we should be teaching our kids this from a very young age. I think one of the first things they learn when they're in school should be mindfulness practice, without a doubt.
Teach them a cure instead of giving them a crutch.
Oh, what's that?
Teach them a cure instead of giving them a crutch.
Oh, I love that, Vicki. Yes. Yes. And that's a cure. Meditation is a cure, yes. Not a crutch. And so I can't say when enough wonders about the practice. Now, for people who are trying to start meditating but have not done so, you know, I always tell people, start with a simple 5 minutes a day, right? Just either in the morning, right when you wake up, before the thought train leaves station, or right when you go to bed at night, before you go to bed at night, about a half hour before you go to bed, find a comfortable place and meditate for 5 minutes. And there's really no wrong or right way to meditate. There's visualization exercises. There's mantra. There are loving kindness meditations where we're sending love from our heart to those who are suffering and where we're sending love from our higher power into our own hearts to relieve our own suffering. There are so many different kinds of meditation practices. But generally speaking, you know, start with 5 minutes a day, morning, night, or both if you like. And when you begin meditating, just start with something very simple, such as focusing on your breath. And to prevent your mind from wandering, just take deep breaths in, deep breaths out. And with every breath in and every breath out, just say something as simple as rising, falling, rising, falling. And that, and you know, so on the, you know, on the breathe in, breathe out, rising, falling. And that's just, that's the first stage of meditation, is to tune to our bodies, to tune to see what's going on in our minds when we finally, you know, what are the thoughts that are running rampant? And when we turn to our breath, what that's doing is anchoring us in the present moment. So a simple meditation exercise, again, start 5 minutes a day, morning, night. You're just focusing on the rising and falling of your breath. And that's a wonderful way to begin. And then if you want to go a little bit deeper, you can turn your meditation into prayers or visualizations or mantras. And there's actually a lot of apps now that your listeners could tune to. Like, for example, Headspace is a popular app on, I think people have on their phones now, different meditation practices. So I definitely encourage all of your listeners to take up the practice if they haven't already, because it's life-changing. It'll make you more present, more gracious, and more self-aware and empowered.
5 minutes a day, a way to change. That's wonderful. 5 minutes a day,
yep.
That's great. And that was such a wonderful answer to a kind of a deep question and the perfect segue into our next break. And when we come back, I'd love for you to talk about those key practices and the power of gratitude. This is Vicki Dobbs with Forest Rivers, and we will be right back.
Learn
Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard. Now there's a place you can go to find resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, if you sign up for her free newsletter, you'll get her optimism by choice and be a happy journal for free. Plus, there's lots of fun and free stuff to do at VickiDobbs.com, like sign up for her blog, Friday Food for Thought, or download her You First Journal to explore how to live an intentional life. So much to do, so little time. Visit VickiDobbs.com to get started. That's VickiDobbs.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
It's time for you to read Get Off the Shelf by Vicki Dobbs. This book helps you discover how to reconnect to your dreams and actually identify yourself by what you do, not who you are. If you're looking to find what's hidden at the bottom of your heart to actualize and activate it for your highest good and purpose, then this book is for you. It all starts by helping yourself first, and Get Off the Shelf shows you exactly how to do this, and it all starts by getting Vicki Dobbs' book, Get Off the Shelf, at Amazon.com, available in ebook or print.
You have too little time to shop, so try Farm Fresh to You. They deliver organic food the way nature intended, delivered straight to your home or office, economically. Visit our web advertiser page and click on Farm Fresh to You now.
Vicki Dobbs' latest book, Wisdom and Wit, a little life book, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art, and creativity so you can learn to choose what's right for you. It is designed to inspire you to think outside the box, challenge you to look beneath old layers, and leads you to mapping out your journey. Wisdom and Wit, fun and filled with information, inspiration, and affirmations. It even has journaling opportunities. Wisdom and Wit, powerful and life-changing. Get your copy today at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone, for our final little section here with Forest Rivers talking about humanity's spiritual rebirth. And one of the touchstones to what I teach is the power of gratitude. And I'm about to publish just a little book called The Power of Gratitude, a sacred wisdom belief journal. And it's basically a place for you to write gratitude every day. And you share your personal story with gratitude as a wellspring of happiness and the foundation of love. Tell me about that.
Oh, gosh. First of all, I think that's incredible that you're writing that book, Vicki. Like, that's incredible, because I think a gratitude journal, first of all, is a practice that I would recommend for everybody to do every day. And it's not hard, and I talk about this in the book, is starting a gratitude journal. Just start with something very simple. The minute you wake up, what is in your heart immediately that you have gratitude for? So if you can start by waking up in the morning and immediately training your mind to focus on what you have gratitude for in that moment, that'll set the course for your day. I know it sounds really simple, and it may even sound cliche to some of the listeners here, but if you begin each day, I promise you, with three or four things that you have gratitude for, quickly write them down in a journal. It could just be a list, or you could expound on each of them. I promise you the rest of your day will be lived with much more gratitude, much less kind of like a complaining, much less kind of victim mentality, and you'll be living much more graciously throughout the day. I promise you on that. So I think gratitude is crucially important on our individual spiritual journeys. I really actually can't overstate how important gratitude is. I would say it's probably right there with compassion and humility. Yeah, I think compassion, humility, and a spirit of service. I would say gratitude should be right there. Yeah. It is truly the wellspring of happiness. All happy people have gratitude, I would argue. Actually, I don't even believe that you can be happy, Vicki, truly fulfilled, if you don't have gratitude first.
I agree, and I know that, you know, I watched my parents move into judgment as they aged, and we often think of our grumpy old elders because they're always griping about something, and my sister and I hold each other accountable for our judgmental ways, and when we hear one or the other of us, and we're well into our 70s, that judgment coming out, I have learned, I catch myself when I'm bitching or moaning or complaining to somebody on the phone. It's like I catch myself and I say, I just want to end this conversation with how grateful I am for the abundance I have in my life and those who gifted it to me and how I was offered the opportunity to grow it for myself and my family. And, you know, I'm just, that's how I try to finish conversations that turn into to judgmental or gripe sessions or whatever. And I've been doing it the last couple of years, and it certainly changes your mindset when you hang up the phone or you say goodbye at the door, and you're leaving with this wellspring of gratefulness as opposed to that deep well of muck that we can sometimes run down into. And I think that ties back into what you talk about on the power of inner faith and how one goes about cultivating that. Is for me with gratitude, because through that comes faith, and with faith comes hope. And with hope comes that attitude of gratitude, because it's kind of this circle that feeds each other in a positive manner through the depths that we all walk through in, you know, the challenges we face in life. So tell us a little bit about how you go about cultivating inner faith.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful, beautiful way you describe that feedback between faith, hope, and gratitude. Wow. I mean, that's profound. Inner faith. Wow. What a powerful topic, right? Inner faith. Well, for me personally, my inner faith has always come through, I guess what you would call, In the East, they call it bhakti yoga, which is basically like the path of devotion, translated to English, right? So it's the path of devotion. So my inner faith comes through basically my love of my gurus. For me, it's Neem Karoli Baba. And I think I mentioned in the first couple of pages, I dedicated the book to Neem Karoli Baba and Ram Dass, who I consider to be my two gurus. And Neem Karoli Baba was Ram Dass's guru. And over the years, he's increasingly become mine too. And so I think what I would say is inner faith becomes cultivated through a love, I think, of divine beings. And you feel those divine beings within your own soul, within your own spirit. So one way to find inner faith is through the path of devotion to your higher power. That could be, by the way, that could be Christ. That could be Buddha. That could be Muhammad. It could be the ascended masters. It could be any number of beings that inspire you, right? That's one way to find inner faith. You know, another way to find inner faith, I've always felt, is through prayer. And meditation. I'm going to bring it right back again to meditation. Is when you're able to still yourself in the throes of meditation practice, you start to realize that when your mind quiets down and your heart opens, that actually what makes meditation so powerful and so healing, to use your phrase from before, cure, is the fact that it actually turns into a form of prayer. You know, like a form of communion with, you know, what we're all a part of, that whatever you want to call it, oneness, God, being, they're all just really words that were, you know, like fingers pointing at the moon and calling it, one person calls it one thing, one person calls it another, but it's really the inherent connection that we're all a part of. And
right, and
when you tap into that, you can't help but find inner faith, right?
Right, and when you speak of things like the moon, it brings to mind what you write about that, on the divinity of nature, and I think that spoke to me of my own true beliefs and the need for
and the restorative wonder of nature. I know when things get worse for me, sometimes it's just getting my feet in the dirt or sitting down and leaning back against a tree in the backyard. I guess a simple way to wrap it all up for us is it's all one.
It's all one. So how do we build our inner faith? Anything that connects us to the natural oneness that we're all a part of. And one of the most powerful ways to do that, as you just said, Vicki, was connecting with Mother Earth.
Yeah.
I promise you, the more time you spend in Mother Earth, the more inner faith will be cultivated, because it becomes unmistakable that we're all one when you're in the wild.
Absolutely. I want to thank you, Forrest, for sharing your wisdom and knowledge today. It's been such an eye-opening experience to read True Humanity, Spiritual Rebirth, and learn so many fascinating things about thriving in all of our experiences. And I know you have a website at forestrivers.com. That's forestrivers.com. And you can be found on Facebook, your YouTube channel, Mystic Soul Revival with Forrest Rivers, and on Instagram as well. And be sure to find your copy of Humanity's Spiritual Rebirth everywhere good books are sold.
If you end up buying a copy of Humanity's Spiritual Rebirth off Amazon and you leave a review, I have a little thing going where, special going, where I'll send you a copy of my first book, The Hippie Revival and Collected Writings.
Oh, I've just peeked at that one. It sounds wonderful. And so y'all remember to check out my website at VickiDobbs.com. There's always that free gift available, and it changes all the time. And just a heads up, Thrive in 25 registration is now opening. Our first gathering is January 4th. And if you're one of the first 10 to register, I'll send you a free copy of my latest, The Power of Gratitude, a Sacred Wisdom Belief Journal. This is Vicki Dobbs, founder of Wisdom Evolution and head cheerleader for the You First Revolution, reminding you that it's time to give yourself permission to be first in your world, to put you on your own calendar and choose you first. You have a right to be happy. Hashtag, you matter. Have a wonder-filled week traveling down happy trails till we meet again. See you on the flip side.